The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Hell yeah!
He covers Bob McCowan's holidays, which means he's here so often you probably already thought he was a full-time employee.
And now,
on the radio,
The Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Left-hand hitter batting. And hits one deep to right center field. Yes, sir, there she goes. A mammoth home run for Travis, his ninth. And on one pitch to the 22-year-old left-handed slugger, the Blue Jays are in flight, leading the Yanks 1-0.
That is the voice of the Blue Jays, Jerry Howard, calling one of Travis Snyder's home runs this past season. That home run, that particular home run, being slugged at Yankee Stadium. And we are very pleased at this time to be joined on the line by Travis Snyder, the Toronto Blue Jays. Travis, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
The first question I just wanted to ask you is, have you had a chance to talk to John Farrell? I mean, he's tried to have conversations with as many players as possible. Have you had a chance to chat with him?
Yeah, I did. I actually chatted with him about 3 weeks ago, and we had a very good conversation. I was very excited just to be able to have a chance to talk to somebody who's, you know, pitched against us in our division and might have a few things for me as a young hitter and trying to break into this league and figure these pitchers out. And I think the conversation we had was great dialogue, and he was able to express to me what he wanted to see coming into spring training. And, you know, it was something that I felt like we're on the same page with. And I'm excited to get a chance to continue to develop a relationship with him and get down there to spring training and start working.
What did he tell you, you know, where they plan on playing you or anything, or your role with the team?
No, I mean, it was pretty, we discussed positional-wise, you know, looking to settle down in one position, give myself a chance to really concentrate defensively on trying to continue to take my game to the next level and be a consistent defender as well as a consistent bat at the plate. And I think that's been the one thing, you know, you guys as fans and media have seen for 2.5 years now. It's just been inconsistent play. And I think for me going into next season, I understand that it's a big year for me, and I'm excited just to, you know, put in the work now in the off season and really bust my tail in spring training and get ready to go for hopefully a big 2011 season.
Travis Snyder of the Blue Jays joins us in the Fan 590. Dwayne Murphy is coming back as the hitting coach. We spent a lot of time talking. There were some suggestions a couple of seasons ago that you and Cito didn't see eye to eye. We've gone through all that. But you seem to really kind of take to Dwayne Murphy. Were you happy to see him back as hitting coach? Have you developed enough of a relationship with him now that, you know, you guys are on the same page, or at least the relationship has developed to the point where there is a little bit of give and take on both sides?
You know, I think the thing people don't understand about Murph is a player's coach through and through, and you talk to any hitter on our team, you're going to get the same reaction. It's probably going to be a smile and a laugh, because we all have a lot of fun with Murph, and not only from a personality standpoint is he a great guy to have around the clubhouse, he's also one of those guys that I've worked with since the minor leagues, and he was our minor league coordinator when I was playing my first full season in 2007 in Lansing, and then in 2008 he got the promotion up to the big leagues. But, you know, I had a year and a half to work with him and for him to kind of see my swing and us to develop that trust, which for me as a young guy, I battled the same way I said last year. It's just a matter of being able to listen to the people around you, and I felt like this year was a little bit better. But again, you still go through those times where, you know, you're questioning what you're doing up there, and it's just a matter of instilling that confidence, and that's what Mark's great about is he really tries to pick you up and get you to go up there with the right head on your shoulders and have a good approach and put a good swing on.
Travis Snyder joins us in the Fan 590. Is your off season? Are you going to prepare any differently this year? I mean, you're right; it is a big year for you. And it really is a chance to establish yourself as an everyday player right from the get-go. Are you going to change the way you uh, you approach the off season this year? Are you doing anything different, or what type of a program are you on right now?
Well, this is week number six for me training, and that's not to say that I've been blowing it out for 6 weeks, because you know there's a little bit of rest and recovery that goes into those first couple weeks as you're getting back into it, but. You know, the way my offseason set up, I think I felt like I've made some adjustments throughout the last few years, and some of the ways that I've been training and really trying to work on that first step quickness and hopefully go out there and, you know, steal some more bases next year and run down a couple of balls in the gap that maybe nobody expects me to get to. And I think those are the kind of things that, you know, I showed myself a little bit last year of what potentially can be there. And I think, you know, as I continue to go through this offseason, and trying to get continue just to cut weight and get myself down into a position where not only being maybe a power hitter type guy, but you know being able to steal some bags and versatility in the field, I think is what's going to help me prolong my career as a young guy in this league and trying to just learn as much as I can going into spring training and understanding, you know, a little bit of an adjustment from an approach to the plate. I think towards the end of the year, I started to really get comfortable with what I was doing up there, and that's just trusting the whole field and being able to go the other way in situations, but also be able to keep your hands back and be able to, you know, hit those home runs. So I think I finally started to feel comfortable at the end of the year, and I look forward to building off that going into next season and the continued off-season dialogue with Murph, and I'll probably talk to John a few times just to make sure, you know, we're on the same page with what's going on here up in the Northwest, and that way I show up to spring training with no surprises, and we're ready to get to work.
You came into camp last year in great shape. I mean, I remember some of the talk about some of your times, you know, home plate to first, and you know, was it hard to maintain that conditioning last year all the way through the year?
You know, it was a tough situation for me, because when I dealt with the wrist injury, you completely eliminate upper body workouts, which during the season you don't get too crazy in the weight room. You're trying to maintain and stay in shape. But I think with the two and a half month lapse in the season, you kind of get thrown off a little bit in your routine. And then I felt like I did a good job in Florida of keeping myself in good shape to finish the season. And, you know, we had the hamstring thing at the end of the year, which was unfortunate, and, you know, it was a combination of things. But I think going into next year is just understanding that, you know, if I can continue to cut 5 or 10 pounds, you know, this off season and be coming in around 225 and in the shape that I've been, the same way I was last year, and just continue to improve on that every year and look to, like I said, versatize my game and try and go out there and be a complete player.
Travis Snyder joins us in the Fan 590. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, I mean, you were drafted by the J.P. Ricciardi regime. J.P. is not here now. You know, do you often wonder, because it's pretty apparent that Alex is being really aggressive. I mean, we know he's talked to Arizona about Upton. You know, how seriously, nobody knows for sure. But there appear to be some moving pieces in place. Do you at all have any thought that maybe the Jays may end up moving you in some sort of multiplayer deal? Because, as I said, I mean, as you well know, JP's not there anymore. And there's, you know, whatever people may say, general managers take a long time, you know, to throw in the towel on their guys, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think in this game of baseball and this business that we're involved in, and as I've learned over the last few years, there's a lot of things that go on that you can't control, whether that's trade rumors or, you know, who your general manager is and, you know, how they're looking to set the team up. And I think, you know, everything that Alex has done here since he's taken over has been in a positive direction for the club. And I think that as players, we have a lot of trust in Alex and his staff up there to make the decisions that are in the best interest of our team. But I also understand on the flip side that every single guy on that roster is at one point or another probably mentioned in a trade conversation and or, you know, look to see, you know, what your value is in the market. And as a young person, I've tried to understand the business side as much as I can to, you know, relieve some of the pressure and anxiety that can go into, you know, what's going to happen if I get traded or, you know, with a new general manager. And I think the dialogues between me and Alex from day one. You know, he saw me play when he was an assistant general manager in JP's regime, and I think Alex understands, you know what kind of potential as a player and hopefully as a leader that I can just continue to progress with the great group of guys and the great players and great leaders that we already have in that clubhouse, and as a young group of guys looking to build up that good core where we have each other to lean on and really go to war every day as a family instead of just as a baseball team with 25 guys with 25 different contracts. And I think that's going to be important for us as a organization moving forward, and I think every single player will tell you that is we got a pretty good group and a pretty good mesh in that clubhouse, and we just look to build off of it with whatever acquisitions and changes are made by Alex, and we understand, you know, at the end of the day those guys make the final decision, and as long as I got a uniform on and I get to play this game for a living, I'm happy.
What did you take out of seeing, you know, Texas and San Francisco make the World Series? I mean, I know, we all know, of course, that being in the American League East, it's a tougher haul for you guys and for a lot of other teams. But when you saw teams like Texas and San Francisco go in, was it almost an idea that, you know, there might be a light here at the end of the tunnel?
Well, yeah, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but I think that, you know, you look at what those guys have done, and that team's made up of great players on both sides, but you look, and the trend has always been the East and the big payroll and this and that, and I think what the Giants did was very special, just being able to, you know, make that playoff run and get hot at the right time, and not to say that they weren't the team that deserved to win because they're a great team, but I think anybody can tell you once you get to the playoffs, you know, a lot of variables come into play, and watching them and the way that they scrapped it together and really just, you know, set the tone early in a series and look to build off of it. I think it was exciting for any young guy that's in the league and watching that and knowing that, you know, hopefully our time is coming right around the corner, and every day we walk into that weight room or in that batting cage in the off season, you know, that's the first thing on our mind is getting to that game and winning a ring.
Travis, thanks so much for joining us. Have a good holidays.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Travis Snyder of the Toronto Blue Jays. And, well, we're in the middle of the hot stove season right now, and the Blue Jays have been active behind the scenes. We do know that Alex Anthopoulos has been a player in a lot of trade discussions. We know that he had a lot of meetings at the general manager's meetings in Orlando with other general managers. And it really is clear that, it's clear that I think we're going to see the Jays make a creative, and I use that phrase, you know, advisedly, we're going to see them make a move that's going to be simply something beyond, you know, signing a guy to a low incentives or a low base salary contract with incentives. I think Alex is serious about making a move that really, really addresses a couple of issues with the roster. And at this stage, I'm not entirely certain that if he, with his emphasis on speed and defense, I'm not entirely certain that maybe he wouldn't consider putting Travis Snyder in a deal to get that done. I want to know what you think. Would you trade Travis Snyder? Or from what you've seen, would you rather hang on to your top prospects right now, take another shot, see what you have this year, see what Travis Snyder gives you under a new manager? There's no Cito Gaston anymore. Under a new manager, would you rather see what Travis Snyder gives you before you make a move? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. And any other thing you want to talk about with the Blue Jays, we're here for you.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
You still have time to enter today's Jeff Blair Show bonus code. It's 11:50. Fan Club members enter the bonus code MONSTER before 11:50 a.m. today at fan590.com for 590 points and your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Toronto play the Sabres in Buffalo. That code again was MONSTER. Visit fan590.com and enter it in the Fan Club for your chance to win now. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. We're talking Blue Jays. We're talking about Travis Snyder. We just had an interview with Travis, and one of the questions I wanted to ask him, one of the questions I did ask him, was how he was handling or what he thought of the suggestions being made in some places that the Blue Jays, that he may be part of a deal. And again, we know that Alex Anthopoulos has said that really nobody is off limits. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I think guys like Ricky Romero are off limits with an asterisk. You know, in other words, blow us away and we'll move him. I don't know, frankly, where Travis Snyder stands in that equation. One of the things I do know about baseball people, and I made this point with Travis, and Travis sort of agreed. When you have a changeover in general manager, even if the new guy was part of the previous regime, a general manager's view their first-round draft picks differently than anybody else in the organization. I mean, there is a certain element of not just ego, but a certain element of, you know, my abilities as a talent evaluator are represented by this guy. Consequently, quite often, a general manager is reluctant to part with a player that he's picked. Certainly, if he's drafted that player and developed that player, he's reluctant to part with him. And sometimes when that general manager leaves and there is a turnover, the new guy comes in and he may not be as married to the idea of having that guy with him. And again, we do know that Alex Anthopoulos is not afraid to be creative. I'm not saying that they're going to definitely move Travis Snyder, but I wonder in the right deal if they wouldn't consider putting Travis Snyder in. And here's why I asked you about what you think about this. However we may want to put it, the fact of the matter is Travis Snyder, I don't know if he didn't get along with Cito Gaston. I don't know if that really matters. The fact of the matter is that relationship was not always smooth. And that's just the way it is. We know that. And maybe we haven't really seen Travis Snyder yet. Maybe Travis Snyder under John Farrell is a completely different player. Maybe John Farrell says to Travis Snyder, you know, you are my left fielder. That's it. You're my left fielder. Maybe he runs with it. So this is the thing right now at this stage of Travis Snyder's career. Do you just hang on to him regardless of what the offer is? Or do you look at moving him? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Jeff in Scarborough, you're on the Fan 590.
Yeah, great show today. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to say, actually, to answer your question about Snyder, I think the thing that kind of sold me on him was the interview you just had with him. I thought that was, first of all, a great interview. I'm definitely going to send that around to a lot of my buddies. One of the things, first of all, I think he's got a great skill set. And prior to this interview, I didn't know too much about his character or his personality. But just the way he spoke about his off-season training as well, as you really kind of got the sense that Anthopoulos is really building some strong chemistry in that clubhouse. And I think to move a young guy like that who's got a potential to be a great power hitter, and not only that, seems like a great teammate, I think wouldn't be a wise decision. In addition to that, I know his name is being linked to Upton. I mean, Upton, similar. I mean, he's a young guy with a great skill set. There are questions about his character, and you have to wonder why the D-backs even have him on the block right now. So
yeah, that is, you know, Jeff, that's, you know, nobody knows the player more than the organization that has him, right? And that is, you know, that is the thing that a lot of people are asking. This guy is a great player. He didn't have a great year, but there's no doubt that Upton's a great player. Why would they want to move him? Whatever they're saying, what is the reason behind that? That is a very good point. The one thing I can tell you about Travis Snyder, I've covered this guy for a couple of years now, and the progression in his maturity level in the last 3 years has been really, like, 2 years ago, Travis Snyder wouldn't have done an interview like that. He would have done an interview. He's never been afraid to do an interview. But there's a sense of maturity about him. I saw it last year in spring training. That wasn't there the year before. And what I really liked about what I saw of Travis Snyder in spring training last year, he came in great shape. And I remember talking to Brian Butterfield, and I want to say it was Tony LaCava one day. We were just talking about the players. And you know what? Travis Snyder, you know, his times from home plate to first were great. There's no reason this guy can't be something other than just a guy who goes up there and hits home runs. He's got good baseball instincts. You know, he's not a dummy in the base pass. He's probably not going to win a 100-meter event in the Olympics, but you know what? He makes good use of his speed. He understands his limitations in the base pass, which is absolutely crucial to being a good base runner. It's not just a matter of being fast. You've got to understand your limitations. And that's the thing, you know, when I keep looking at Travis Snyder, I go, I would really like Upton on my team because I think he addresses a lot of issues with the Jays. But at the same time, I don't know what Travis Snyder is. You know, what if you get rid of him? And, you know, what if you're getting rid of a guy, a 30, 35 home run guy? You know, and that's the thing. It wouldn't be Upton for Snyder even up. It would be part of a package. And boy, it's really an issue for the Blue Jays. I mean, they've really got to think long and hard about this. And it's also clear that the guy wants to stay in Toronto, and it's clear that he's popular with his teammates. Jay in Mississauga, you're in the Fan 590.
I just believe they shouldn't trade him because you don't know what he's going to bring. The previous caller kept saying young, he's young, but the word young reminds me of Michael Young. He used to be a Blue Jay. We drafted him, and we traded him for Estuan Loaiza.
Yeah, Gord Ash's deal.
And that's just in hindsight, like that he's a perennial all-star, Michael Young, and that deal is just brutal. I mean, Loaiza didn't even provide us with anything, so I think we should give Snyder a chance.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Jay, is that you know that deal was made during the year, and that deal was made because the Blue Jays thought they needed pitching.
Yeah, because Roy Halladay had like an ERA of like 10 at that time.
Yeah, he hadn't emerged yet. The Blue Jays thought they needed pitching. And, you know, credit Texas for making a great deal. They picked the right guy, you know.
They even signed him to extension in 2007 for like $80,000. Like they're not even paying them a lot too. So I mean, so the Texas results now are from that. And another name that pops up is Jason Wirth. I mean, he was in our system too, and he's helping Philly down there too. And I just want to get your comments on that. Thanks.
Well, I mean, no problem. You know, Jason Wirth for Jason Fraser. Jason Fraser has done some pretty good service for the Blue Jays. Yeah, he has not had the type of impact that Jason Wirth has had. But Jason Fraser's, he's done okay. You know, and when a deal is made, you have to look at, you know, sort of the length of work that results from that deal. And as good as Jason Wirth would have been with the Jays, and, you know, two things. One, you don't know what position the Jays would have had for him. You don't know if he would have made it as an outfielder in the Jays organization. I mean, obviously he's a good outfielder, but you don't know if the Jays would have stuck with him there. We don't know that. Maybe they would have tried to move him to first base. There was talk about that. You know, and you don't know if the guy would be as good in the American League as he is in the National League. So, at the time, you know, as I said, they needed pitching. But it is true. You really do have to have an accurate handle on what you're trading. It's not just enough to know what you're getting in return. You have to know what you're trading. And I just don't know if we know what Travis Snyder is. Bob in Kitchener, you're in the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. No, I think they should hang on to Travis. I feel the same way. Well, it took Carlos a couple years before he finally found his groove, and he turned into a really good player.
And I would like to see what this guy, Bob, and I'm sure you're with me, I want to see what he is without Cito around. And yeah. I'm not slagging Cito. I'm not going to, you know, been there, done that. I'm not going to slag Cito. Cito's retired. But all I'm saying is, let's see what he's like in this environment. Maybe, you know, maybe that's what I'm getting at. Maybe John Farrell is the key that unlocks the door.
Yeah, can I ask a question yet?
Sure.
Is Jason Wirth still available?
He's a free agent.
Yeah. I think you should try to take a run at him because he's not all that old and has experience what it takes to get to the playoffs, and he could maybe help a bit.
Yeah, he's going to get so much money. He's out of Toronto's stratosphere.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd want to come to Toronto either. My sense is Jason Wirth has bigger fish to fry. I think you'll see him on the West Coast. You know, I just don't see any mesh. And the other thing, too, if the Jays felt they were... You know, they were a year away, or if the Jays had made the playoffs this past season and sort of needed to extend that run, then I can see doing it. I don't know if Jason Wirth is a guy. Well, yes, I do know. For me, at this stage where the Blue Jays are, Jason Wirth isn't a guy I go after. Doesn't mean he's a bad player.
Yeah.
It's just I think I can use my money better.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Jeff.
No problem. And Jason Wirth is going to end up getting a great contract someplace. And I think the world of Jason Wirth as a player. I don't know... I think he's a National League player. I don't know if he could have an impact in the American League. I've always felt that about him. I think he's probably in the perfect place right now, but if he was going to go anywhere, I could see him go to the West Coast. I could see him go to Los Angeles, to the Dodgers, if that ownership situation gets straightened around and they get some money to spend. Matt in Waterloo, you're on the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. I could handle an Adam Lynn trade. A Travis Snyder one, I got to say, Anthopoulos has built up a lot of cachet, and so I guess I'd kind of bite my lip and say, well, geez, Halleck seems to know what he's doing, but there'd be a big question mark around trading Snyder at this point. He's still so young. I think his fielding has been underrated.
Yep. It's gotten better. I think it's gotten better. I mean, it's not Gold Glove caliber, but he's gotten better, and he works at it.
Wouldn't you feel pretty good about Snyder, Wells, and Bautista every day in the outfield? That's a pretty darn good outfield.
Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. I really go back and forth because I've thought about it ever since the Justin Upton rumors have come up. I've kind of thought about what the Jays may give up. And again, I really like getting a guy with that skill set in this team. I just think it answers so many questions and fills so many roles for this team. And I think especially now with what we're seeing with the Red Sox losing Victor Martinez, we're seeing the Yankees having some issues. I don't know how the American League East is going to look when opening day rolls around. You know, I don't know. The more I look at, wow, having Upton in this team at this time, that could be great. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to give up Snyder and some of that pitching depth. Like, I really do go back and forth on it. I really do go back and forth on it because, every time I think that maybe you use a pitcher and Snyder to get this deal done, and then you look at the way the teams like the Giants have just built themselves around pitching. And then you wonder, okay, the Jays have some depth now, but if they lose a pitcher due to injury, which does happen, then what? Bye-bye depth. I know one thing for a fact. I do not trade Kyle Drabek. I mean, if I trade Zach Stewart, maybe. Brett Cecil? Nah. But Zach Stewart, maybe. And Kyle Drabek, I don't touch. There's no way I trade Kyle Drabek. I think Kyle Drabek can be a front-of-the-rotation starter in a couple of years. Dante and Thorold, you're on the Fan 590.
Thank you. I'll make my point quick here. What about moving Travis Snyder to first base and not making any trades and agreeing with that previous caller about maybe trading Snyder to have a blow up in your face? Example in question, Michael Young.
Well, I think Adam Lind is the first baseman. I don't. For whatever reason, I think the Blue Jays, and you look at Travis Snyder, you'd think, okay, maybe he could play first base. Because as I said, he's certainly not a butcher as an athlete. But I think the Blue Jays are pretty much set now in having Adam Lind as their first baseman, at least going into spring training with Adam Lind as a first baseman. And I also think, frankly, that Travis Snyder could be the type of guy whose defense is good enough that you would rather use him in the outfield. As I said, this is a guy who is taking steps towards figuring out himself defensively, taking steps towards figuring out his limitations. And a lot of times, the errors you've seen Travis Snyder make in the field have really been errors of a guy trying to do too much. Once he kind of figures out his limitations, I think he could be a pretty good defensive outfielder. So I don't know if I would take him out of there. I would rather have Adam Lind at first base. Scott Mitchell of the Ticats joins us around the corner.
If you think you know it all, tell us already, will you? The Sports Authority Panel. Online at fan590.com.
Hockey Central at noon with Greg Brady and Doug McClain. Simulcast on Sirius Channel 97. Today at noon. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio. The Fan 590.
So, every Monday in the Globe, I do this look-ahead thing. It was 1989, kind of a compilation of little thoughts and rants, stuff of that nature. And this week I decided, because I like to make it look ahead to what's happening, so this week I decided that I would, take a little shot at the Vanier Cup people because they're playing their game in Quebec City, and frankly, no one in the country is going to pay any attention to it because everybody who's a football fan will be fixated on, guess what, the Grey Cup. And I suggested that the Vanier Cup people, that CIS, might want to hitch their wagon to the Grey Cup and do what they did in Toronto a couple of years ago, have the Vanier Cup on a Friday Saturday would be undoable, but have it on the Friday of Grey Cup weekend and turn it into a football festival. It was such a good idea. It was such a great idea that Scott Mitchell and the company that he works for, well, that they decided that I was right, and they went ahead and did it later that afternoon and announced that the Vanier Cup next year will be held in conjunction with the Grey Cup in Vancouver. And for that reason, I'm very pleased at this time to be joined by Scott Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell.
How are you? I don't know why anyone says people don't listen to you.
I'll tell you what, man, that was fast action. If I'd known that, I would have written it a couple of weeks earlier. But in all seriousness, walk us through how this transpired and how Bob Young and Bob Young's company got involved in this.
Well, it goes back a little bit of time, actually. Previously in 2007, Bob's got another company other than the Tiger Cats called MRX that I get to run for him. And MRX has been involved in a number of high-profile events, from PGA Tour events to FIFA Under 20 and Grey Cups. But we, with Brad Waters, put together the concept for 2007. And, my family and myself haven't played in the Vanier Cup, but we've got a very passionate following of CIS football and CIS sport. Of course, the Mitchell Bowls in honor of my dad. And, mm-hmm. and I thought there was a great opportunity for this to be more of a long-term arrangement and to certainly revisit it again after what was, as you said, a very good success in 2007. And, you know, it really has been a long process. It's probably taken us the better part of 18 months to put this together. But thankfully, we've got a great partner dealing with the BC Lions and Mr. Braley. And finally, yesterday, we were ready to announce it, and it was important to get it announced just previous to this year's Vanier Cup.
So it'll be next year with BC. Is it a one-year? It's a one-year thing right now?
Well, I think, yeah, right now we've just announced that this will be part of the Grey Cup Festival in 2011, but I'm optimistic that early in the new year, what MRX has done, we've purchased the Vanier Cup itself for a number of years, as well as the broadcast and all the new media rights to CIS football. So I suspect in the new year at some point in time, there'll be a much broader and meatier announcement as it relates to the Vanier Cup, to Grey Cup, and the future of CIS football.
Scott Mitchell of the Hamilton Tiger Cats and MRX joins us on the Fan 590. For the life of me, I was at that game, the University of Manitoba and St. Mary's game. The University of Manitoba is my alma mater. It was a great time. It really was. It was a good event. There were a lot of people. It was really, really first class. And I'm not saying that you can't have a first class game in Quebec City or anything like that, but is there a business model that makes sense for CIS to have this as a standalone thing?
Well, I think you framed it well. I think in certain markets it's been successful. I certainly think Quebec City has been a great market for them. They've done well. They sold it out last year, even though Laval didn't make the game, and they had great to turn out for Calgary and Queens. I think it was Calgary. Anyway, they did very well in Saskatoon when they had it out there a couple of years ago. But I think, I'm on the same belief or wavelength that you are, that I think it's a great property, but I think it's a property that's still immature and has great growth opportunity. And I think when you look at the upside of having it with Grey Cup in terms of building a great football weekend in Canada and celebrating all of amateur football and professional football in Canada together, it far outweighs the upside of having this one-off Vanier Cup event that tends to get obscured very much at this time of year by Grey Cup.
To me, and one of the reasons it's a no-brainer, I'm thinking as a newspaper person here, you've got all those reporters at the Grey Cup City anyhow, and Friday night, this is probably going to have an impact on their social lives, but I mean, Friday night, if you're there, you're almost obligated to cover the game. I mean, to me, it's just a no-brainer in terms of media exposure and, almost free media exposure, right? Because, I mean, that's essentially what it is when you're, being covered by a newspaper.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of things that have happened that are hugely important. I think now Grey Cup's become such a monster and and you've seen the growth of it in the last decade. I mean, you've got 25,000 to 30,000 visitors coming in every year to the host Grey Cup City. So it's a phenomenal event, and inevitably those people are looking for events. So, just the concept and the growth of Grey Cup and the people who come in from outside the community, they're looking for events that week. I think the other thing that's great that we're excited about for Vancouver is that while 2007 it was on the same weekend, it really wasn't integrated. It wasn't an official, quote-unquote, partner of Grey Cup. And this year, in 2011, Vanier Cup will be the Grey Cup Festival event on the Friday night. So in terms of packaging it and promoting it and marketing it through that weekend, it, much like the gala on Saturday night and the Player Awards on the Thursday night, the Friday night event will be the Vanier Cup as part of that Grey Cup weekend. So I just think that's a tremendous opportunity to do that. And when you speak about the media, you know, in terms of what's going on for CFL weekend on that Friday night, it'll be the Vanier Cup.
What when MRX approached CIS, you said it took a while to get it done. Was there, I mean, one of the things, and look, I have a certain amount of sympathy for CIS in a way, because I think a lot of times they feel a little hard done by, and they kind of feel that they get, you know, they get the short end of the stick a lot of times. And my thought was, when, you know, somebody approaches them with this business plan, their first thought was probably, okay, what's the downside here? Was there, you know, was there that sort of an initial skepticism you had to get around, or the fact that David Braley was involved and the fact that you were involved, and pretty high profile, and Bob Young, pretty high profile football people in Canada, did that make it a little easier maybe to, you know, get your foot in the door and at least have that element of built-in trust that maybe, you know, another company wouldn't have received?
I definitely think it helped, because I think both David and certainly our family and Bob Young have been great citizens in terms of working with universities and CIS. But, you know what it's like, Jeff, sometimes you have 32 football-playing universities across the country, so you've got to get 32 people, or certainly the vast majority of them, to buy into it, and that can be a long, difficult process. I think there's some concern that, again, that it gets obscured. It would get obscured by Grey Cup on the same weekend, but again, I would argue that, you know, the Grey Cup is Canada's single largest sporting event. It's just turned into a massive success. You know, why wouldn't you leverage as much as you possibly could from that success rather than trying to battle against it? So I think after a long, long period of discussion, and you know, it was a very complicated deal to get done with the Lions themselves for a number of reasons, but, you know, I think the common sense prevailed in terms of the great upside versus what the downside was.
Scott Mitchell of MRX and the Hamilton Tiger Cats joins us on the Fan 590. You talked about the new media rights. I'll ask this. This is a very indelicate question, but can money be made off Canadian college football?
Well, I think the other thing you've seen is, I know you know this, but the growth in the television ratings for all sports, particularly the CFL, has had just a massive success the last couple of years, which has been great for all of us. And, you know, the Score's done a nice job with their package that they have of the OUA. But, you know, the numbers that have been generated on RDS, as well as for the two national semifinal games and on TSN, have been really significant numbers. I think having this on Friday night, hopefully promoted the right way as part of Grey Cup Festival, I think this will produce an excellent number for CIS football. And again, I'd like to see this get to a point where we've got a national high-profile game of the week featuring the best against the best in the CIS. That's probably going to take a few years to get there. In the short term, I think you've got to concentrate on the biggest games first. You go backwards from the Vanier Cup and try to build a package. But I do think there's growing interest. The TV numbers certainly show that and justify that. And, you know, we're interested in growing this over the long term, not just for 1 or 2 years.
Scott, when you played in the CIS, just how far has it come since you played?
Oh, I think it's unbelievably better and improved since I was there. I think back in the day, there's always been, you know, a half dozen to a dozen excellent players on any CIS team, but I played in the NCAA, and what you saw was this drop-off after kind of the first level of people. The depth wasn't there. I think now when you watch OUA football or any football across the country, the depth is tremendous. I think if you watched the UFC play last week in the Mitchell Bowl, they've got five or six playmakers on offense that you never used to see. So you look at it in terms of the players that the CIS is producing for the CFL. They still produce the vast majority of the players for the CFL, and they're starting to produce more and more elite players and skilled players like the Andy Fantuses and the Rob Baggs. So, you know, the talent level in the CIS, it's not coincidental that the scholarship money started to come in too, but the talent level in the CIS and the coaching has been phenomenal and improved as well. So I think it's been great improvement.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us. Good luck with the venture.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Take care. That is Scott Mitchell of MRX and president of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Sorry, MRX is a company, Bob Young's company. They have purchased the rights to the Vanier Cup, and next year will hold the Vanier Cup in conjunction with the Grey Cup. And as I said, why this isn't just a natural thing that has happened over the years is beyond me, but nonetheless, it's going to be done in Vancouver. Greg Brady has just slid in. Mr. Brady, thank you for joining us.
Big Vanier Cup fan from the past. Yeah. Got to call the one in 94, Western Saskatchewan.
Oh, really?
I think that's still the record-setting attendance. Why is it? I just don't think it means at Western Saskatchewan. I don't think it means as much to the students on. You and I would need to go back, go undercover as undergrads, because that would work.
You know,
Drew Barrymore did it in that movie, Never Been Kissed.
Yeah, well,
not that there's a parallel there for us.
Well, it sort of is a parallel for my university days, but that's beside the point. No, you're absolutely right.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can remember, you know, going to University of Manitoba. I mean, they'd be lucky to get 1,000 people out at a game, and it was
whereas
just,
Western was sort of. Like, if there was a Michigan of the CIU football,
oh, yeah,
it was there, you'd get 9,000, mostly alumni support, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the biggest issue in Canada is just the, well, you know this, I mean, there's really, what's alumni in Canada?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least in terms of sports. I mean, if you're an alumni, you're going to support your school, you're probably going to do it academically. So, I mean, that's just a cultural thing. What's ahead
in
Hockey Central?
I heard you talking about Vaughn. We're going to talk to actually Mike Murphy about the hit last night, Stahl, and, of course, Matt Stajan.
A caller called about that. I didn't see it.
I mean, I don't even want to say I know what I think, and I think it's a blindside hit. I think it's a hit they're trying to get out of the game. All I hear is Matt Stajan was admiring his pass. You have to have some fall through. It's like watching a golf shot. If you jerk your head away right away, you know where your shot's going to go. You have to have some fall through with anything. So we'll talk to him about that. And I'm curious to get people's read. You and I should talk more about this tomorrow, about Josh Hamilton. Probably gets the MVP today, but people are talking about him for like SI Sportsman of the Year.
Yes.
And a little more goes into that because of his past, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
he went through all this adversity, but it's self-created adversity. Let's be perfectly honest here.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I know there is that discussion out there, and he's the American League MVP, but I don't think he's the athlete of the year by any stretch of the imagination. He would, frankly, for me, he wouldn't even be in my top 10.
I wouldn't let him babysit.
But that's just me. I look forward to that. I'll be back tomorrow.